I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 957 in your red pew Bibles. I encourage you to follow along as we read this section. I can recall when my daughter Blair was in grade school at the end of the year awards ceremony, which all the parents go and it's in the gym and all the kids are lining up, and the one award that really, and she was kind of smart, so she was getting all those, you know, high awards. But the one that really made us proud was that she got the citizenship award, which is, you know, for kindness. They described it. A couple young people got that, and I can remember when when they handed her the piece of paper, the award, you know, the piece of paper. And she would go, and she was standing there holding it, and she looked at us, and she goes, you know, like, this is the sixth one. So she was good with the citizenship award. The humility award, not so much. We're still working on that a little bit. But things like that, they make us proud. You know, when our son Aaron was playing in the jazz band and our daughter Kara was swimming and took a mission trip to the Honduras. You know, our kids make us proud. Even as adults, when they do things, they make us proud. Where scripture today, the Apostle Paul finds himself like a proud parent. And you kind of know the story. You've been following along. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. He's gone into the city of Thessalonica to share the gospel of Jesus. And like he normally do, he would go into the synagogue and begin to tell people, pointing to the Old Testament scriptures, how Jesus was the Messiah. And so he began to tell them about the good news of Jesus. And a lot of those people, those Jewish people, accepted Jesus and they followed Jesus, but not everybody did. And so the conservative Jews then, a couple weeks later, they ran Paul out of town but began to harass those Jewish Christians that they were called because they were heretics. You know, they weren't true Jews at the time. But even after Paul left the city, they continued to follow Jesus. And they kept following and meeting together and worshiping and sharing with one another and loving one another. And then even telling other people about Jesus, and this movement began to grow in that part of Greece. And Paul gets word that this is happening. And Paul is like a proud, proud parent. And he's just bursting at the seams. And so here's what we read, where we come across in verse 13. We're going to start in verse 13 and look at what he says here. He said, "We also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone. In their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But, brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope? Our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." As a pastor, I will often compliment people when I see them serving or ministering in challenging situations, and I will say to them, "Oh, what you're doing is Jesus-type stuff," is what I will say to them. And Paul is kind of saying something the same here. The same thing here. He is pointing to the church and says, you are acting just like those very first Christians, those very first followers of Jesus Christ in Judea. Because they accepted Jesus and then they were persecuted by their own people. But they hung in there just like you are doing. And Paul says, man, that makes me so proud. That makes me so proud. And Paul mentions in there the reason why they are able to do that. And I think if we go back to the beginning of the section that I read in verse 13, we see. Look what he says here again, right at the beginning. We also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And so they accepted and they believed in the word of God. They believed in the good news that Paul taught them, that Jesus was the Messiah. And as he told them the stories of Jesus, and he was an example for them and how to live, and told them about Jesus' teachings, probably sharing some of what's in the Sermon on the Mount. And when they believed and when they followed what Paul said, they were taking the good word of God into their lives, and they were changed. They were transformed. They began to be changed because they probably started becoming more like Jesus. They probably became nicer people, right? They were filled with kindness. They were more helpful. They were more filled with joy and hope. Plus, they were able to endure the suffering that they were going through because they had taken that word of God to heart, accepted it, and believed it. And they took it to heart. During the cold and flu season, we often see TV commercials about medicine as companies trying to hawk medicine. And they always say, this is how it works in you. It will relieve your stuffy nose and dry up your runny nose and ease your chest congestion and suppress the cough that you have. You know, when it's working in you, this is what will happen, it said. Well, the Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. He said, listen, when the word of God is working in you who believe, he's almost saying like the word of God becomes medicine for their lives. A couple of years ago, my mom had some health issues. And her breathing had become a little difficult. We end up taking her to the doctor. And I remember sitting in the doctor's office. And he wrote her a prescription to get an oxygen machine. So we went to the store, you know, rented out the oxygen machine. You know, it was the thing that you have at home with the long cords where you can go all home. And then the things that, you know, put up underneath her nose. We got mom all settled and everything. And I went back a couple weeks later to see mom. And the machine is in the closet. Mom, what's going on? I don't like it. Makes too much noise. You know, I don't like having a thing on my nose. And it's like, okay, I get it. All right. But when we went to the doctor plainly looked at her and said this. He said, Bonnie, oxygen is like medicine. Oxygen is like medicine for your body. Do you ever stop and consider the word of God as being medicine for our lives? You ever stop and think that? That's a good question because when we talk about the Bible, people have a lot of different ideas about what the Bible is, right? This collection of old and outdated stories, ancient book of fables that was written by men. And then, of course, if you have an old version of the Bible, it's written in the King James, right, which is, thou comest at me and I will smitest thou. You know, we kind of like, it's just, you know, I don't understand it, right? It's boring. It's boring. I've said that before. It's boring. Where do you begin? It's a collection of stuff. And it's really a shame that we're part of a culture now that doesn't read much anymore. I mean, we're into watching TV mostly. Right? So that's why we do less of this, because we're watching TV, Or if we're really busy, then we'll stick on a podcast and we could speed up the podcast so we can listen twice as fast and still get stuff done, right? Because we don't have time. We don't have, you know, it's not important enough that we really devote time to it. I mean, there's a lot of people that respect and esteem the Bible, but we're not really sure how does it apply to my life? How can this ancient book written 2,000 years ago apply to the 21st century? And so we have all those questions, legitimate questions. And just like my mom needed to see that oxygen was medicine, we need to see the Bible as good medicine for us. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor over a group of people who just formed a church. And Timothy was a young guy, and so Paul gives him advice in this letter. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said this, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." And here, Paul lays out four purposes of the Bible and how it is medicine in our lives. First of all, it shows us the truth. It shows us the truth. A couple weeks ago, when my wife, Diana, and I were over in Athens, and we were walking through the marketplace in Athens. And it's probably a marketplace in anywhere over in Europe, but people just sell things differently than we do over here. But over there, if you're looking at something and you touch it or pick it up, there's going to be somebody coming and just say, "Oh, you like that? Huh? You know, there's a sale on that now." Or Diana was, you know, looking at a shawl or something and just took it, you know, and all of a sudden they were right there. "You want to go try that on? You know, there's a sale on that." And it was just so in your face, right? You know, they just hounded you to buy. And I just get, man, I'm out at stuff like that. I get just so intimidated. "Don't bother me. You know, you try and be nice." But it's like, just let me decide, right? And I think sometimes that's the way it is in our world, in our society, right? We feel hounded. We feel bombarded by all these ideas and new thinking and political viewpoints and temptations from ourselves. And then advertisers are at us to buy this and buy that. "Oh, you're not feeling good? Buy this. Oh, you don't look as good? Buy that." And we're just constantly bombarded. Scam emails. You know, even we open up our emails, you know, we're being tricked. And people will say and do anything to get our money, and to get our loyalty, and to get our time, right? Isn't Jesus a breath of fresh air when he says, "I am the truth"? "I am the truth," Jesus says. And so the Word of God is truth. And when we fill our lives with the Word of God, it's like medicine to cut through all the junk that's out there, right? So Scripture shows us the truth. Second thing is it exposes our rebellion and our sinfulness. When we sit with God's Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, it alerts us to the fact that there are times we just like to do our own thing. We're just going to go do our own thing. That's how we were raised, to do our own thing. But remember what Jesus says, that if you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Now, we don't always want to do that, right? And that's sometimes why we don't read the Bible, because we don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel, you know, I read the Bible, it makes me feel guilty. God doesn't want you to feel guilty. God wants you to turn to him. He wants you to arrange things. So he wants you to change. Okay? It's a shame. God is not about shame. Okay? He is about getting you to turn. And to the bottom line is we go off course sometimes and we do our own thing. And confession and repentance is getting us back on track, and then we can enjoy God's way. God's got the best for us. We have to believe that. We have to believe that God has the best for us. And so when we read the Bible, it brings to mind our sins and our rebellion when we confess. And that's number three. It corrects our mistakes. The Bible shows us how to make things right. When we realize we've messed up and that we've sinned, the Bible tells us we can confess, we can repent. And then the Bible will say, you know what? And this is where it gets hard, okay? Because the Scripture will tell us, you know what? You probably ought to forgive that person. I don't want to forgive that person. Yeah, but it's you don't want to be eaten up with that all the time. You ought to forgive that person. You need to go apologize to that person. They don't care. It's water under the bridge. No, you need to go apologize to that person. These are the things that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us, and that makes us a better person. It makes us more like Jesus, or brings humility into our lives. And through the Scripture, the Holy Spirit brings to mind how to make things right with God and right with our neighbor, and how to live a God-honoring way. The Bible does that. And then number four, the Scripture trains us to live God's way. Trains us to live God's way. When we read the Bible, we see examples like Jesus on how to live, how to act, how to treat other people. We read that enough. Guess what? It's going to rub off on us, okay? And we read the Bible, we see good examples of what to do. And then we see bad examples of what not to do. That's why those stories are in there. It's a history of the Israelite people and the good things that they did and the bad things that they did. So we can read and hear and learn, and we are trained for what God wants for us. The writer of Hebrews said this, chapter 4, he said, "His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey." Author Kathleen Norris tells a story about her and her husband when they visited this elderly gentleman by the name of Arlo. Arlo was a rugged, self-made man, but in this stage of his life, he was dying of cancer. And during the visit, Arlo began to talk about his grandfather, who was a devout Christian. And he told this story about when they got married, he and his new bride, they got married, and his grandfather gave him this new, brand new, expensive Bible. It was a leather bound and had their names embossed in gold on the outside, and he gave it to this couple, and Arlo's, you know, he just not much of a God guy, and so put it in the closet, you know, just kind of pushed it off. But every time he would see his grandfather would ask him, "How'd you like that Bible I gave you?" "Oh, good, great, thanks, Grandpa." You know, and his wife even wrote a note of thanks. You know, "Thank you for the Bible." But it's like every month, you know, or every time he'd see his grandpa would always ask him, "How do you like that Bible? How do you like that Bible?" "Thanks, Grandpa. Yeah, I like it a lot." And then one day he got curious. He was curious enough to go and open up that Bible. And he just started in the beginning and read the book of Genesis. And there in the beginning of the book of Genesis was a $20 bill. Like, well. He looked at the beginning of the next book. At the beginning of every book of the Bible, there was a $20 bill. It's over $1,300. And Arlo said, "My grandfather knew I would never look in there. He said, the joke was on me," is what he said. You know, sometimes we resist going all in with this book. For whatever reason. But the fact is, inside the pages of this book, there's a reward. There's a reward. The reward is we get to know God better. And when we get to know God better, we begin to get healing for our broken life and living in this messed up world. We begin to experience the abundant life of joy and peace that God has laid out for us. And like the Thessalonians, the reward is we are able to endure hard times. So the Bible is good medicine. The Bible is good medicine. Now, like those times when you go and you pick up your medicine and you get, the pharmacist would like to see you, you know, and you go to the little cubby, and the pharmacist says, when you take this medicine, you need to take it with food, right? And you can only take it in the morning. Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, the tips for how to make the medicine work. And so I'm the pharmacist this morning. I'm going to give you some tips for taking your medicine and reading the Bible. Here's some important tips, okay? Because I'm going to anticipate that everybody in here is going to go home and start reading the Bible. I'm going to anticipate that. Here's some tips to do that. Number one, make sure you have an easy-to-read Bible, okay? I know you love that Bible that Grandma gave you, but if it's a King James Version Bible, it was written in the 1500s, okay? We don't talk like that anymore. And so keep the Bible, keep it, you know, good memories. Get a Bible that's easy to read. NIV, NLT versions. You have any questions about this? Email me. Come talk to me afterwards. You know, I'm the pharmacist, right? I want to help you, right? Number two, before you start reading, pray and ask God to help you to understand what you're going to read, okay? We're not reading just for quantity here. We're going to stop. We're going to pray and ask God, right? Start reading about Jesus. This is, and God loved people. Man, I'm going to pick up the Bible. I'm going to read through it. And you get through Genesis and you're reading and, you know, cool stories and everything. And then it's like, read it at night so it can put you to sleep, right? Here's some tips. Read about Jesus, just like I told the youth here. Read about Jesus. Start in the book of John. But every day you should read something about Jesus. Okay, if he's the one we're trying to follow, let's read about Jesus, right? And so the letters of Paul are important. Other parts of the Bible are important, but we should read Jesus every day. When you start reading, read slowly and for a few minutes. Okay, we want to take it in. We want to savor this because we're going to expect God to speak to us. So we're going to savor it like a glass of fine wine. Oh, these are Baptists, I'm sorry. Like a nice cup of tea. Like a nice cup of tea or a mug of coffee or something. Like you're just enjoying it in the morning. All right? Let's take a few minutes so we read it slowly. And this isn't a guzzling contest. The object is to not just get through of it as much as we can. I may be wrong, but I don't think there's going to be any awards in heaven for how many times you read through the Bible. It's not quantity, it's quality. Okay? It is the whole purpose of this is hanging out with Jesus. Okay? And allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And then, finally, reflect on what you've read. When you read it, okay, what is the Spirit saying to me? What am I going to get out of it? Now, this is where we let the medicine do its work. Remember what Paul said in verse 13? The word of God is at work in you who believe. Okay? This is where the Holy Spirit does its work when we read our scripture and then we just stop and we ponder and we start thinking, what does this mean? What does this mean? And so, to help you do that, in your outline, I've listed some questions that you can ask, okay? And this is from Rick Warren, good pastor and Bible teacher. I've had this for years. And so you can go through, and if the Spirit's like, man, I got nothing, and you have mornings when you read where you just say, God, I got nothing, okay? That's all right. Go through this list. Is there a sin to confess? All right? Sometimes, when we read the Bible, there's a sin that kind of like, ooh, we realize, I need to confess that. Go ahead and do that right then. Okay, don't wait to do that later. You'll probably forget, right? Is there a promise to claim? You read the promise, maybe you read and Jesus says, man, I'm going to be with you always to the end of the age. And he's like, whoa, Jesus says he's going to be with us forever. Is there an attitude to change? Right? This is where the scripture gets us, you know? Because we read about Jesus maybe forgiving people, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I need to forgive them. I need God speaking. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, right? Is there a command to obey? Jesus says, love one another. Or might read that says, show hospitality. Think of people more highly than yourself. Whoa, really? Is there an example to follow? Duh, Jesus, okay? Is there a prayer to pray? The Apostle Paul, in these letters that he writes, he's couched some really good prayers in there. And sometimes you come across them and you just want to chew on that. And so you just kind of, okay, I'm going to pray that prayer. You read the Psalms. The Psalms were the prayer book of the early church. It's with Jesus, how Jesus prayed. Is there an error to avoid? David and Bathsheba? Right? The Good Samaritan? You hear the story of the Good Samaritan? When the religious people passed by somebody in need, part of that lesson is that let's not avoid that error as followers of Jesus. Is there a truth to believe about God and his faithfulness or his sovereignty that we can claim? And then, is there something to thank God for? Right? All the time. So you can come to the end. If your mind is stuck, you come to the end. There ought to be something to thank God for. So here's the deal. When we ask questions of the Bible, we let the medicine of the Bible do its work. We let the medicine of the Bible do its work. So speaking of medicine, and I'm wrapping up here. Do you know that the medical community is concerned, has a serious concern about a serious problem in the United States? And that problem is called medication adherence. And what that means is that patients don't take their prescribed medicines as they should. Up to 50%, they say, 50% of the people who are prescribed medication from the doctor don't take it as they should for a variety of reasons, okay? Sometimes people forget. Sometimes people are fearful. We don't like that side effect. Oh, I don't want that messing with me, right? Or it costs too much. Or a misunderstanding on what a medication does. I've been taking it. I don't feel any different. And so I stop taking it. Or I'm feeling fine now, and so I'll stop taking my meds, right? And people just quit. Or I'm taking too many meds already. I don't want to take any more. Or I just don't trust that doctor. Right? We have all these reasons. 50% of people don't take their medication as prescribed. And that kills 125,000 people in the U.S. every year. It raises health care costs. Because all of a sudden, oh, okay, now there's an emergency room visit, you have time in the hospital, or now you're not feeling well, and so you got to go back to the doctor and another doctor's visit, and that raises health care costs. Let's not be like that when it comes to the medicine of the Bible, okay? Dr. Jesus is writing you a prescription this morning. Go home and read your Bible. Go home and read your Bible. Right. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And just in this time of silence, I'm just going to ask that simple question. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for salvation and him going to the cross. And we thank you for loving us. One of the ways that you love us is that you have preserved your word in the Bible, in the scriptures. We have this wonderful collection of stories of your people, which tells us all about you, tells us about us, and how we as a people and as individuals, how we've messed up our lives and gone astray. But Lord, your word also tells us about how we can make it right again. So we thank you for that. And so, Lord, we acknowledge we live really busy lives, and sometimes our priorities get out of whack. But, Lord, you have provided some medicine for us through your word. And so, Lord, for those that are serious, that would want to take Bible reading seriously, Lord, would you help them to create a time in their schedule to read every day and to stop and ponder and think about what that scripture says. God, our end game is to be more like Jesus. You want us to become more like Jesus, and you want us to live the abundant life and to be fully human beings the way that you've created us to be. And may reading your word be a step towards that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.